This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. This is the evening edition. Caroline and Uma with you. Khairul Hizam Harun used to work for an NGO teaching art to underprivileged kids. As with most charitable efforts, however, funding was never reliable. So he went in search of a better, more sustainable model. Today he heads Karya, a social enterprise that funds art lessons for children in shelter homes through private art classes that people pay for. All the funds they make get ploughed back into the organization. We've got Khairul here with us, and we're going to talk to him about his approach and how well it's been working out so far. Khairul, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. So run us through very briefly, what is Karya?
Karya basically is a social enterprise that offers free art education or art-based education and art therapy to the shelter homes. But also at the same time, we open up our classes and workshops to the public. Basically, Karya, it's one of the few social enterprise that practices social artistry, where we try to use art to promote social change.
What do you mean, social artistry, and how do you use art to promote social change exactly?
Oh, well, the thing is, it's like social artistry is basically a term where people use art to enable social change. Whereas, like, that's the biggest one I can remember right now. Whereas in US, there's this one potter who basically took abandoned houses and rebuild them to make into a community shelter, a community art center.
Mm.
So I think basically that's social artistry, where you use the arts.
Just artistic endeavors.
Yes.
To, well, practically fundraise. From what we understand, so you used to work as an art teacher at the Start Society.
Yes.
So tell us about your experiences or your challenges, I suppose, of NGO funding.
Ah, yes. NGO funding, basically, that they are always, they have to rely on funders. Sometimes the funders can be, like, say, private companies, corporations. But the thing is, sometimes certain companies and corporations, they have a board where you have to satisfy that, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that.
Yeah.
So basically, their hands are quite tight. And even though, yes, that you enjoy all the funds, but once the corporation said, no, we're going to stop,
it just ends, right?
It just ends. So that's the main what I think is the NGO trap, where you solely depend on funding, but you on yourself, you can't really generate funds or revenue to support yourself.
Why is that? I mean, is it because your hands are tied by regulations that are put in place by these corporations, and therefore you can't fundraise any other way? Or is it because you just get comfortable with the fact that funding is coming in from one source and you don't have to look for it elsewhere?
I think it's a mixture between both. Like, some NGOs, they get comfortable. Mm. But also, you can still do fundraising. But the thing is, it's like, at least that I understand that I've been through that, sometimes fundraising, it's not enough to sustain in the long run, in the long term.
Yeah.
Because people go on a year-to-year contract a lot of times. Mm. It's very rare that people say, I'm going to fund you for 5 years.
Mm, yeah, true. And so instead of, like, say, you depend on just, like, fundraising and funding, why not just, like, be...
generate the funds.
Generate your own funds and be self-sustaining.
Mm. Right. Well, no. I guess we'll get to how Karya generates its own funds in a second. But tell us then, so how did you... I mean, I'm assuming this was stemmed from frustration then, this idea of setting up Karya.
In funding? Getting funding?
Or just in general, I guess frustration from funding, from the sudden stoppage of funding.
Yeah, because, like, I remember that back then in Start, that we, the challenges that we have to face. And I just took the whole experience. And then I just, like, okay, you know what? Like, I do not really want to be trapped by the limitations of being funded by just one corporation or for fundraisers. Why not that, hey, Karya can do well on its own. We can actually stand on our own and self-sustain.
So how many people at the moment are involved in Karya? How many of them are you in your day-to-day operations?
Not counting the volunteers that we get, that would be just me.
Just you? Okay. No, that must be tough, right? Because you have a one-man show. You've got to fundraise, you've got to market, you've got to manage volunteers.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, what exactly do you do? You do it all.
Yeah, but no. I mean, how sustainable is that for you?
Well, you know, this is where, like, I'm actually quite grateful that I have, my own side gig and whatnot. Because I know, like, at this very early stage of the whole social enterprise, I mean, obviously, that you can't really just get the funds or get the money rolled back first. You just have to let it, like, you know, build up first. And, yeah, I guess, like, I'm quite grateful that I still have other jobs to do.
Right.
Side gigs.
So, tell us, art is important to children and especially underprivileged children. Explain to us why that is.
Okay. Honestly, I don't really like using the word underprivileged, but okay, from what I noticed and I learned from working with shelter home kids, these kids basically that you can see these kids, like, they have, like, the gift, like, they can draw, they can paint, they can act, they can sing. But as all of you know, that arts can be a very, very, in a way, expensive thing to pursue. So these kids, even though that they have the interest, the very strong interest, like, they have, like, the talent, in fact, but they do not have the proper guidance, sometimes they do not even have, like, the proper materials.
I think it's important to point that out. I mean, there is that common assumption, isn't it? And it's easy to assume that just because you have an underprivileged background, for lack of a better term, that your goals and aspirations are not the same of children elsewhere, all around the world.
No, I think that's true. Mm. But at the same time, what's interesting is very few people have access to the materials and the support in general, let alone those who come from shelter homes. Yep. I mean, people even if you don't come from a shelter home, there is so little access because we don't, in Malaysia as a society, we don't pride ourselves in these things. Mm. And I think that has to change as well. We'll be talking some more about Karya and the work that they do. But first, Folds, my number on BFM 89.9. Good evening. I'm Uma Pagan, I'm K. Pagan, alongside Caroline O. This is the Evening Edition, and we're talking about a social enterprise by the name of Karya. We're joined by its co-founder, Khairul Hizam Harun. Tell us about, we've been talking about Karya and how it works and how you plan to make it sustainable. So I'm curious as to what your model / business plan is with regards to fundraising. If we're just going to stop, not just stop, but don't rely completely on the kindness of corporations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll be honest, like, actually I myself, that I am learning the ropes of business since I come from the arts background. But the thing is, it's like for me, for us at Karya, our plan is just like we would like to offer like programs and workshops and art classes to the public to self-sustain ourselves. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, we like also to generate some revenue from merchandise, but also at the same time, CSR programs for companies.
Okay, so these classes, we'll start with those classes that you're talking about. So art classes to generate funds. Will you be teaching those classes, considering there's only you on board at this point in time?
But the thing is, it's like, it's just not about art classes in the sense of painting, but it could also be music, it could be performing arts, it could be even like poetry or spoken word. Not only just me, I can teach like painting or drawing, but the good thing about the art scene in Malaysia, we tend to support each other too. So Karya is lucky enough to have the support of those artists as well. So we could get like them aboard, and either they give workshops or also teach classes.
So you said that this was also open to the public at large, and I'm assuming that would be a good source of income as well. In that, of course, if the public at large, you can charge them for these kinds of classes, right? And is that a sustainable way to get some money?
I do believe so, because like especially we're not there yet, but with Karya, not only that we teach arts, but also art-based education and art therapy. So with art-based education, that have you ever heard of STEM?
Yes, of course.
We believe in STEAM.
Go on.
Basically, that
science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics.
Yes.
Right.
Because especially at this day and age, that with technology, we don't limit ourselves in creating works of art just only like, you know, painting or strumming music or whatever. Even the idea of making music has went through like, you know, digital basically. So with art-based education, that with STEAM, we believe that even though like with science and technology how important it is, arts still play an important role. Art is also what makes us human, mm-hmm. what makes us great innovators.
And what's the response been like so far?
So far it's been it's still in a way like small, but it has been very, very positive.
Small meaning?
Meaning it's not that like, you know, huge, but so far right now, like my the classes are just the public and but also from the homeschool communities where they are more open towards those kind of type of education. But the thing is, like again, I believe that us Malaysians, that we need to understand the importance of arts in a sense, not only just like, oh, you can paint, but arts also, the whole idea about arts.
Okay, so what's the response to that been like? Just this idea of, you know, opening up minds and, you know, educating people, understanding the importance of art.
So far, so good. Because like one, they understood that, okay, they have the general idea of like when you say, hey, I teach art. Oh, so you teach how to paint within
how
the
to
lines.
How to draw, yeah.
No.
Joining the dots.
Yeah.
Because arts, again, as I was saying just now, arts, at least for me, I believe it makes you question.
Mm-hmm.
When it makes you question, when you apply into sciences, basically, you're already a scientist, but based in arts.
So talk to us about some of the shelters you work with. How do you approach them? What kind of shelters do you work with? And how's the take-up rate been like on that side?
So far with the shelter homes that we've been working in the shelter home from around PJ and a few interests. So far they've been like very, very supportive. The way that we approach them, because I knew some of the shelter homes keepers and minders as well.
Yeah.
We just emailed them saying that, oh, we would like to provide you know, free workshops and classes, and they're more than happy to provide us like the time and support us. So they've been like quite, because like some of the shelter homes, they already been I know like some of the kids, they're already quite interested and they're very, very talented. But it's just that, again,
there isn't a platform for it.
Yes.
Can you describe to us the sort of circumstances these children come from?
Some of them, they can be from, say, families who are extremely poor.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the kids are, like, you know, orphans and whatnot. And but most of the kids that I teach, they just basically like, again, like they have the very strong interest in arts. They some of them, they want to be artists, musicians, performers.
Mm-hmm.
But there, some of them, they might not, you know, have the interest to be artists or performers. But for them, arts, it's a positive outlet for them to like, oh, hey, like sometimes like, you know, maybe he has been a bad day at school. So it's like, I'm just gonna, oh, today, like there's an art class, like, or there's an art workshop. So we're just gonna.
It provides an option.
Yeah. Exactly.
We've got Khairul Hizam-Harun with us. He's the co-founder of Karya. After the news, we're going to ask him about the specific art programs he runs and how it helps the children. Muse coming up, Supermassive Black Hole on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9.
Uma Caroline and the Ghosts, apparently.
I know, I love this song and the way it ends. This is the evening edition. We've been talking to Khairul Hizam-Harun. He's the co-founder of Karya. It is a social enterprise that teaches art and funds art lessons for children in shelter homes and also through private classes that the public can pay for. We've been talking about the model of the social enterprise and also about what Karya does, but let's get into just how the art, I guess the art lessons work, Kairul. Talk to us about how you teach children. What are the processes? You know, because this is art as therapy as well as art as a skill, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. True. Okay. Usually, how I go about with my classes, where sometimes that I go with, oh, maybe for this month, maybe we're gonna learn about art history. So, like say Monet, we learn about Monet, the paintings, everything. But also at the same time, the idea behind why Monet draws like that, and the art history, the art movement, and the technique, which is the short strokes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sometimes. Not only just painting, but I do like say comics, so visual storytelling, sequential arts, where maybe I can, let's say one student say, oh, but I don't like drawing, but I like to tell stories. Combine both, maybe, or maybe let's say do a collaboration with another student where, oh, I can draw, but I can't write, or and the other one would be like, oh, I can write, but I cannot draw, so they combine.
So you give them assignments, sort of. Is that how it works?
Got homework, is it?
Sometimes assignments, but sometimes, like say, if especially for the older kids, what they'll do, like, okay, we'll just sit, I'll just introduce a technique, painting technique, they'll just start painting, and for the rest of the month, I'll try to finish the painting, and they just come back, come to me, like, oh, like, do you think it's just right and everything, and then we discuss the idea.
Right, so are all the classes then bundled into one, in that, say, for example, art therapy being one, and just actual art classes, and so how that's supposed to manifest, I suppose, is, you know, it's perhaps relaxing to learn about these things, and therefore it's therapy, or is art therapy one on its own?
For now, we only have like very limited art therapy classes, like lessons, sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I think for art class itself, it can be a therapy for you know, for people.
As in, but it's therapeutic.
It's therapeutic, but also for like art therapy itself. Sometimes like we just like, oh, okay, like we discuss things, we talk about things, and then like, okay, like maybe you want to draw like the most important part, like say of your life, like why do you use this color, why do you do that. It's basically, it's a dialogue through both visually and orally, so from there they start to talk. And even like some of the students, I remember that he was like really quiet. He wouldn't want to talk to anyone at all. And I just like gave him a piece of paper and said, okay, you don't have to join in the class, but you know, you can just like draw what you want. So they just draw. He just draw for a few months. And then suddenly he just came up to me and told and asked like, oh, teacher, I want to join in the class. And from that, I noticed that he started to talk to other kids as well as to other adults, because before this it's like he's really really quiet, and it's actually like, for me, I feel it's really good that, you know, he decided to open up.
And proof that it's encouraging us, yeah, as a medium expression.
There are elements of early childhood education here. I mean, you mentioned that your partner has experience in early childhood education. Is that something you want Karya to look towards in the future?
Yes, I do. Whereas like a lot of people, especially in Malaysia, that we tend to overlook about early childhood education. We think like, oh, okay, like just gonna let the kids play and whatnot. But especially like the ages of 0 to 5, stimulation is actually quite important to them, and it can be both like, say for the arts, visually, visually and orally, like as in listening. So like say for the kids, for the toddlers, we can have like say why is it important to have classes where, you know, toddlers just play, dance and sing. For kids, maybe, I mean for parents, maybe they might think like, oh, okay, you know, just they're just playing. But here's the thing, it develops their muscles. And why painting, or actually in fact like just tearing paper, is important? It's because developing their fine motor skills. And for us, like for Karya, for early childhood education, we like to combine both Montessori and also Waldorfian. So Montessori, I know that it's a mixture between logic, science, whereas like Waldorfian is more of like, oh, arts and everything, very open-minded, I mean, very open, very creative base.
Right. Kyrol, tell people, I mean, how they can get in touch with you, how they can find out more about Karya. I'm assuming you want more people to help as well, not just join the art classes, but you're looking yes. for volunteers. So how can they find you, man?
Oh, okay. We're actually like, we're still very, very new on the online presence, right? But you can, all of you can visit us like on Facebook, Karya KL, or you can just like drop us an email at contact.karyakl@gmail.com.
Fantastic. That's we've been talking to Kyrol Hizam Haran. He's the co-founder of Karya. All the best to you and your endeavors. We've got Crowded House coming up. Better be home soon on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.